35th chapter. Moreover, Josias kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, and he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. And said unto the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people Israel, and prepare yourselves by the houses of your fathers after your courses. According to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon his son, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people. And after the divisions of the families of the Levites, so kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And Josias gave to the people of flocks, lamb and kids and all for the Passover offerings. For all that were present to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks, these were of the king's substance. All right, now, I want to talk with you a little bit and see if I can bring out some thoughts. And I don't know which direction that I'll go in what I say. But I see some things in this where Josias keeps the Passover. And maybe we'll make mention of it this morning, but we'll try to say whatever he tells us to say. I'd like for you to give me your attention, and as I try to talk with you, I want you to listen to what I have to say. And this morning I feel an interest. I feel that interest. I didn't feel that interest for two straight nights. I didn't feel that interest. And it really disturbed me, see, because just before then, you had developed a keen interest and a determination and a perseverance for Jesus. And then all of a sudden, just two cold nights and no interest. And I really talked to God about it. I was really disturbed about it. And after I preached that last night, on a Saturday morning, I came back and the brethren had such interest until I told them I guess I'd have to go repent. I didn't think I touched you much on Friday night. But I said, here the offices are just buzzing like June bugs, you notice. I mean, they were really going. And people was working, and Brother Attlee worked all night long, and some of them worked late. And I tell you what, it really done something to me. And this morning, I feel that interest. And folks, let me tell you something. Now, you might not get emotional. I love to see you get emotional, you know. A lot of folks don't believe in emotion, but I do, you know. If it's emotional for Jesus, I believe in it. Sensation for Jesus, I believe in it. Whatever's for Jesus, I believe in it. But one thing I want you to do, whether you get emotional or not, I want you to have an interest. I want you to have an interest. You know, the devil can kill your interest by causing you to look around you at the surrounding things, or cause you to get your mind on your brother instead of on Christ. That way he can kill your interest. He can fill your mind, or so fill your mind with such infiltrations of doubts and wonders. Wondering and conversation between you and your companion and what you've heard until he can completely kill your interest. But that is when you are in the carnal mind. You should never lean to your own understanding. You should never reason, but always believe. The just shall live by faith, not by reasoning. So then God expects us to have faith. He doesn't want us to reason. He wants us to have faith. See, if we reason, we can't reach God. Come on now. If we reason, we can't reach God. If you live in your own carnal thinking, you cannot reach God. The carnal mind is limited to God. It's cut off from God. It's the beast's mind. You can't reach God if you live in it. It doesn't matter how brilliant you are. You might be a great scholar, but see, that doesn't make you reach God. Is that right? You can't reach God that way. Now, so it is abundantly and above all that you can think. So if it's abundantly above all that you can think, then you cannot reach God by thinking. You just cut yourself off when you do that. So then, I ask you not to think, not to reason. Let you reason with God. Come and let us reason together. See, if you're going to think as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Think according to the pure mind. David said, stir up your pure minds in Christ. That pure mind is the mind of Jesus. Stir it up. Kill out the other mind. See, we are baptized with Christ. We are dead with Christ. We are planted together in a watery grave, and we don't belong to ourselves. We are bought with a price. to glorify God. So then if I'm dead, if I'm buried, if I'm in the grave, then it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. All right, now then, if it is the Lord living, then why should I do the thinking? If it is not me living, then why should I do the thinking? If it is not me living, then why should I do the things that I want to do? We should deny ourselves, swear to our own hurt, withdraw from fleshly lust that warreth against the Spirit. Isn't that right? And brethren, when we do that, we begin to find something for God. You know what? Until we do that, serving God is a burden. Certainly, you might have God. You might have God, but you can make a burden out of serving God. Is that right? What was it God said to Josiah here as they placed that ark in the temple? What was he said to him? He said, no longer shall the ark be a burden upon your shoulders. Coming through the wilderness, that ark was a burden because it had to be placed upon their shoulders and they had to carry it. What was it? Was Jesus going to Golgotha when they laid the cross on his shoulder? It was a burden to him as he went up, but it was God's burden. But when he reached the hill of Golgotha and that door opened in heaven, he took that all. Hallelujah! It wasn't a burden anymore. Praise God, it was the move of God. It was power. Hallelujah, when you take the word of God, it may seem like a burden to you. You know, you have to yield to it and surrender to it and fast and pray and conform to it. But there comes a place and a time in your life when suddenly you get into something with God. And when you get into that something with God, it's no longer a burden. That word is a great power and a great inspiration. Hallelujah. Oh, my, I tell you, there's a world of difference. And so then we're now coming into the age where it won't be a burden to us anymore. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Take up your cross. Hallelujah, and follow me. But there's a time it won't be a burden anymore. Hallelujah. And we're entering into that age. We're entering into the joys and liberties of the sons of God, Eddie. We're coming to the time of the liberties of the sons of God. You say, what is the liberties of the sons of God? When things is not a burden anymore. When serving God is a joy. Hallelujah. What is serving God? How can it be joy? Praise God. What is it? How can it be joy? When serving God becomes a joy to you, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. How can it be a joy to you? How can it be a joy? There is the way that it can be a joy to you. It doesn't have to be a burden. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be a burden. You know, how can it be a joy? When you come into the revelation of Jesus Christ and you begin to feast off of the manna from heaven, when you begin to feast off of the new things, and something new begins to take place, you begin to feast off of those things, Brother Thomas, and when you do that, oh, you feel like dancing. Hallelujah. You feel like really doing something for God then. So then they made the great feast and they made the great sacrifice. And they said, it's time to put the ark in the temple. Hallelujah. Take it off your shoulder now. Take it off your shoulder. We're going to put it in the temple now. Hallelujah. That's what Calvary was. Right? Take it off your shoulder. And let's put it in the temple now. Oh, hallelujah. Don't that make you feel good all over? Let's put it in the temple. Hallelujah. Then it's time to take it off the shoulder now. As long as it's on the shoulder, Josiah said it's a cross. You're carrying a cross. It's a burden. Hallelujah. But there comes a time when it will be in our heart. You know, overseas they have kings that they put in these little things and they put them up on their shoulders and they're carrying. You've seen them do that. See, they're carrying them. But that kind of king is a burden to them. Isn't that right? But the kind of king I'm talking about, he's closer than a brother. He gets on the inside of you. He's not a burden to you. He's a strength. Hallelujah. The Bible said, being strengthened by the power, being strengthened by the power and the might of the inner man. Hallelujah. There's a superseding strength on the inside that we can have. And this great strength and this great power comes from Jesus. Hallelujah. We're coming out of the burden age. Coming out of the little age of burden, moving over. Where did they do this? Did they do this after they left the wilderness? As long as it's down in Egypt, it's a problem. It's garlic and onions. As long as you're out there in the wilderness, it's a burden. It's a cross. But brother, when you cross over that old carnal mind and you bear that fellow and you put him back there and you lay him in the grave and you get over Jordan. Hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable and it's filled with glory. Once you get over that old carnal mind, but as long as you reap them, as long as you stay in that carnal mind, it's death, my brother. It's sorrow, my brother. As long as you're in that carnal mind, it's death and sorrow. But I tell you, when you get over Jordan, when you get over that reasoning, when you get over finding fault with your brother, when you get over trying to figure it out, and you get out there and take hold of the Lamb's God hand, hallelujah. Glory to God, and say, Lord, I'm going to deny myself for my fellow man. I'm going to deny myself for my brother. Lord, I'm going to take hold of my brother, hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm going to take hold of that weak little old hand of that little junior down there and say, come on, we can do it, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I asked my little Danny this morning as I was getting ready for church. I said, Danny, you think we'll make it? Danny said, I believe we'll make it. I said, I'll take your faith and we'll make it, Danny. Come on, we can make it. Hallelujah. Glory to God, when we get to the place to where Jesus said, feed my lambs. And we want to feed the little lambs, not just the sheep, but the little lambs. You know, when you look around and you see somebody that's mumbling and grumbling and finding fault, he might be a little fellow, you know. Somebody might have stole his marbles. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. You need to be a part of it. Take hold of his hand. Hallelujah. Get a hold of his hand and say, come on, Junior, we can make it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like little Danny. Danny, he got a grumbling spirit on him, and he would grumble when he would get up in the morning, and he would grumble when he'd go to bed at night. He would grumble when he'd come to the table. Didn't nothing please him. I said, now look here, Danny. I said, you just got a grumbling devil. I said, that's what's wrong with you. You're just a little fella. I said, but you just got a grumbling devil. I said, now, Danny, you've got to get rid of that grumbling devil or you'll go into the fire. So I began to pray for him. I began to talk to him. I began to help him. And after a while, I noticed when Danny came to the table, he didn't mumble. At night, he didn't lay there for 30 or 40 minutes fussing with his mother, you know, because he had to go to bed. And things began to take a change. And finally, I said, hey, Danny, I said, you know what? I believe you've got rid of that spirit. Danny said, well, I've been trying. I've been trying. Hallelujah. I've been trying. I wonder if you've been trying this morning. That's all God wants you to do. It's just to make an effort. When we try, he'll give us grace to do it. He'll give us strength to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, this makes me feel so much better. I see your concern. I see your interest. I see your drive. I see your hunger for God. Folks, as long as you got that kind of attitude, I can take your hand and we can win the battle for Jesus. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can stand before an army of God like that. Somebody say hallelujah. Brother Kelly thinks the song Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Somebody say, I wonder why folks don't prophesy in the church. You can't prophesy without the Spirit of God. You let the glory of God come down, and when the glory of God come down, even old Saul prophesied. Hallelujah. But you don't have to be a prophet to prophesy when God comes. You get the Spirit of God in the church, and God begins to move, and the gifts will work. You don't have to worry about somebody getting healed. You don't have to worry about the blind eyes being opened and the deaf ears being unstopped. Hallelujah. All you got to do is get the Spirit of God. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Like under the tent over in the Carolinas, under the big white tent there when we preached the sermon, when Jesus returned, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. When he came out of the power of the Spirit. He had the Spirit before he ever went in there. But the Bible said that he returned in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's what makes the difference. You may have the Spirit, but let me tell you something. As long as you're trying to bring the Spirit of God out to the people through that old carnal mind of yours, that ark is a burden. Amen. You got a cross on your shoulder. Hallelujah. You know what it represents? It means that you're still going to Calvary. You're still going to Calvary. You're still going to Calvary. Isn't that right? See, but the Bible said don't lay the foundation of repentance over and over and over. It's all right to repent, Brother Taylor. It's all right to repent. See? I believe in repentance. I believe we all repent. But folks, we can't just keep on repenting. There's a time to move on as God. Move on as a perfection of God. Hallelujah. To bring up that temple to where we can set that ark in that temple. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God on the main line. Tell him what you want. Amen. I feel the awakening. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel something coming up. I feel that Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said these are lively stones. I believe I got some lively stones out there this morning. Amen. There's something that's taking place. Hallelujah. As long as we're walking in the flesh, as long as we're in the carnal mind, and serving God is a burden to us. Back there when they took the ark from Israel, they took that covenant away from Israel. Oh, it broke Daniel's heart. It broke the heart of Eli. It broke the hearts of others. The Philistines took it away from them. And they really thought that they could handle it, you know. They thought, this is God. We'll get this thing in the midst of us. But oh, let me tell you something, my brother. It won't work like that. Glory to God, it won't work like that. You can't take this and take it out there among the world and make it work. The Baptist, the Methodist, the Church of God, the EPC, the Pentecostals, all of them. There's many among them that thought they could take this and mix it with darkness. But you can't mix light with darkness. They thought they could go on wearing their bathing suits and go down to the beach, you know, and go on with their frolics and doing the things they wanted to do. But the fire of God takes the hypocrite by surprise. Amen. He said, you think I'm all together, such a one as you are. But sometimes God's gonna miss you face to face. And he said, when I met you, said it'd been better that you'd met a bear robbed of her cub. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel God on the main line. Hallelujah. He said it'd be better you'd meet a bear robbed of a cub than to meet me. Hallelujah. And so then they took that Ark of the Covenant and they thought they could handle it. They thought it would work for them. Amen. They started producing PhDs, but that don't work. Hallelujah. A PhD don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. Amen. That's right. Like I said here not too long ago, talking to a professor in the Carolinas who was still teaching college. He said, man, he said, what you're talking about must be God. He said, I'm a professor, so I never heard of such a thing. But it makes sense to me. It thrills me. Hallelujah. Even the dignitaries admit it. So then, a PhD don't understand this. But I'll tell you one thing, if you get like Jesus, you can understand it. They said, Lord, said, look, fellas, to tell me something. How is it that you know letters never having learned? How do you know about this thing? You ain't got no PhD. You don't know nothing about college. How do you know about this thing? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. This is my Father's business I'm talking about, folks. I'm talking about the sons of God. They know about this thing. This is their business. They've got to be about their Father's business. Hallelujah. And so then as long as we're in the flesh, as long as we're going by that old intellectual reasoning, that means that we're going to have a burden on our shoulder. But the Bible said in that day, they won't say, this is the burden of the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't say anymore, this is the burden of the Lord. Don't you go tell somebody that you've got the burden of the Lord. Don't you do that. Because what I'm talking about is joy unspeakable and full of glory. He said they won't no longer say the burden of the Lord. But the Bible said Philip went down to Samaria and there was great joy in that city. There was great joy in that city, serving God's joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! The Christ that's on the inside. The temple that God's putting on the inside. That king that sits upon the throne of my heart. Hallelujah. You know, the thing that bothers me the most, I suppose, is to know that some are so near and yet so far away. The Jews were so close to this thing. They've gotten so close to it. They've come right down to the door, so to speak. And they've gotten so close to it. They had fasted and they prayed like the Pentecostal world of today. They fasted and they prayed and they got right down to the door. As a matter of fact, a man came to Jesus and he answered Jesus discreetly. And Jesus said, sir, he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, he said. Hallelujah. He answered discreetly. But Jesus never did say that he entered into the kingdom of God, did he? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Is that right? And he said, for you to repent and receive the kingdom of God. He wants us to repent because the kingdom of God's at hand. The kingdom of God's close by. But we've got to repent if we're going to receive it. It takes more than just being at hand. We've got to repent. We've got to receive the kingdom of God. The Bible said, God will work. Who will let it work? Who will let it work? Hallelujah. He doesn't have to ask permission, does he?
You love the Lord? All right. Now, so then, there is something bigger than we are that's in the land and in the world today. There's something bigger than you and I that's in the world today. God is doing something that the other generations have not been partakers of. I say, but Brother Pike, that can't possibly be, but it is. When are you going to come to the place to where you realize there's something new, my brother? God's doing something new. See, there's something that's going on. There's something that's different. See, this is a new time. Moses did great things. Now listen. Moses made the earth open up and it swallowed the children of Israel alive. When they disobeyed God, Moses said, God, you've done a lot of great signs and wonders. Just use my own term of speech here now. You've done a lot of great wonders for Abraham. You've done a lot of things for Noah. You've done a lot of things for Jacob and for Isaac. But God, if I be a man of God, I want you to do a new thing. Hallelujah. I want the earth to open up and swallow the people alive. And the Bible said God did a new thing. And the earth opened up and swallowed them up. Hallelujah. Old brother Joshua came along after Moses. And Moses was so great that they haven't stopped talking about him till today. The Jews say, we know Moses, but who is Jesus? Even until this very day. But when Joshua came along, though Moses was so great, though he was such a mighty man, old brother Joshua looked away to heaven and called for a new thing. Hallelujah. God, you made the earth open up for Moses. Hallelujah. And you've done as much for me. You opened the Red Sea for Moses and you opened Jordan for me. But he said, now, God, I want something new. Hallelujah. I want you to do a new thing, God. I want the sun to stand still. I want the moon to stand still. I want a new thing, God. And God did a new thing. Hallelujah, he did a new thing. And the sun stood still. And the moon stood still. And it was a new day. Hallelujah, this is a new day. God doing a new thing. Somebody said, bless God, we'll just wait and see. Well, you just wait and see. When we see it, we'll believe it. You'll never believe it because you'll never see it. You'll never see it. Somebody said, the way I judge this situation, bless God, we'll just see. You'll never see it. Amen. You can come to little Bethlehem all you want to, but you'll never see it. The Bible said the wicked will not see when good cometh. God's blinded their eyes to it. You'll never see it. This is the world of faith. This is a translation by faith. You go from dimension to dimension by faith in this world. Hallelujah. I'm moving from faith to faith in this world. Paul said from faith to faith in this world. I'm moving from faith to faith. Hallelujah. We're on a journey, the song said, to another country. We're moving from faith to faith. From translation to translation. From glory to glory. Hallelujah. You know, we don't have to die. We don't have to die. What causes death is the Word of God being a burden. When the Word of God is a cross upon our shoulders, then it is a burden. When it is a burden, then it leads to death. It leads to Calvary. And the way for that Word to be a burden is when it says, thou shalt surely die in the day thou eatest thereof. When you hear the Word of God as a judgment, then you hear it as a law. When you hear it as a law, you hear it as a penalty of death because sin gets its strength by the law. And when you hear it like that, then there's got to be a Calvary involved. And if there's a Calvary involved, there's got to be a lamb involved. And it's got to be without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish. And you've got to be that lamb. Every person's got to provide their own lamb. You know, we like to feel that God is going to take somebody else. But every person has to provide their own lamb. If you sin, you've got to provide your own lamb. Hallelujah. God's looking for you. The Bible said, as a lamb led to the slaughter, standing before our shearers dumb, we opened not our mouth, killed all the day long for his sake. But in this we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. If you can't deny yourself, if you can't swear to your own hurt, if you can't take the old man and put him on the cross, then you don't have a lamb. Hallelujah. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, brother preacher. Don't you know that when you talk about the lamb, you're talking about the Son of God? That's the only lamb that can atone for sin. I'm talking about the Son of God. I'm talking about His body and members in particular. Hallelujah. I'm talking about that Calvary where the members of the Son of God atones for the world. You've got to provide your own lamb. Hallelujah. Who'll do the job? Jesus. Jesus, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you don't have a lamb. He's the only lamb God will accept. When I deny myself and I live holy and I walk upright and then I offer my body to Jesus, it is not I that liveth, but it is the Lamb of God. And God set a sacrifice well pleasing in the sight of God. You got to have a revelation to do that. You can't just do that. It's going to take a revelation. You've got to have a revelation. You understand what I'm saying? Look at old brother Cain. Back there, backslid. What happened to him? He had a chance just like you had a chance. Is that right? He had a chance just like you had a chance. God received him into the family. God put him here. But when he rejected God, he lost out in the brotherhood. Is that right? Hallelujah. He's still brother today, but he's brother to that old fleshly man. Is that right? You John the Mason, they say, hello, brother fella. Is that right? All you got to do is join up with the world. You got a fellow. You got a brother. But when you come into this new lineage and come into Christ Jesus, then you make the crossing. You're no longer brother to Cain. You're brother to Abel. How do you believe God's able? Hallelujah. And so then Cain didn't have a revelation. Cain came to offer his sacrifice, but he didn't have a revelation. You've got to have a lamb, my brother. You've got to have a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. You've got to have a lamb. See, he did not have a revelation, therefore he couldn't do anything. He thought all God wanted was an offering. Come on. I say some evangelists, they feel all God wants is an offering. And some people, they say, we're following brother so-and-so. We give our money, that's all God requires of us. All God wants an offering, but God wants an offering well-pleasing. Not just an offering. God's got an offering. God's got all the cattle of 1,000 hills. That isn't what God wants. But what does God want? God wants us to be sanctified by the blood of Christ. He wants a lamb well pleasing in His sight. He wants us to be able to walk to Calvary without reservation of heart. Lay down this old body and this old carcass and say, Jesus, here I am. Hallelujah. You follow me? So then, Cain said, here's my offering. God said, I can't accept it. Oh, Brother Abel said, God, here's my offering. God said, well pleasing. Hallelujah. What was the difference? What was the difference? Hallelujah. I wished I had time to bring it out. If you had time to listen and get into Revelation, I'd have time to bring it out. What was the difference? What was the difference in it? There was a difference, my brother and sister. What was the difference in it? There was a definite difference. One had a revelation, the other did not have a revelation. One of them came to offer blood, the other one offered the fruit of the ground. Is that right? Why did God reject Cain's offering? Because Cain's heart wasn't right with God. You can offer that old carcass of yours as much as you want to. You can go up there and say, now God, here I am. God, I repent. So did Esau. God, here I am. I've been used in your service. So was Saul. Come on. But when God analyzes the gift that you give, He looks down and He sees if you've been through that divine transformation. He looks down and He says, no. That is the dust of the earth. That's the fruit of the ground. Everything that you'll ever do is the fruits of the ground. They might be beautiful fruits in your sight, but not in God's sight. You follow me? But when Abel came, Abel had that glorified image. Hallelujah. When God saw him, He saw him as Jesus. As the Lamb well pleasing. He saw the blood application. See, he didn't see the blood application in Cain's life. And Cain, he got all upset. And Cain said, why didn't you accept me? Jesus said, sin is at the door. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Folks, you can't lean to your own understanding. You can't lean to your own understanding. There's got to be a change. You got to go through a change. There's got to be a difference. We've got to come into the things of God. Now look at it just for a minute here. Now, I'm not going to try to get into anything extensively, but let's drop in just a little bit of revelation. Look at it. What was the difference in it? See, there is a covenant that God had made. Is that right? He made a covenant. What was wrong with Cain's offering? He came to offer under the wrong covenant. He came to God and he offered under the wrong covenant. Why did he offer to God under the wrong covenant? Because he did not have the mind of Christ. He didn't have the revelation of God. Is that right? See, he couldn't offer under the right covenant because he wasn't in the right covenant. He didn't have the knowledge of the right covenant. Who was his father? The Bible said the devil was his father. Is that right? Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. You'll do what he tells you to do because that's the mind you got. You'll come to little Bethlehem. When the sons of God come, you'll come also and sit in the midst of them. You'll hinder with your unbelief until the preaching gets to such a place that you get afraid that God's going to turn you into hell. And then you'll get out of the way. You're going to hinder you of your father the devil. Is that right? And all the offering you'll ever offer to God is will worship. Your idea about it, what you think about it, the tradition of the elders, what you've been told about it. But God didn't want what the elders had said. God didn't want what somebody taught them. But God wanted a revelation. He wanted something he'd reveal to them. He wanted them to have a revelation from God. You understand what I'm saying? So then, Cain offered under the wrong covenant. Why was it the wrong covenant? Because it was a broken covenant. It was a broken covenant. Look at the days of Moses when Moses spent 40 days, 40 nights to show that broken covenant. Look at him up there in the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights without anything to eat to show that broken covenant, and then come down with a bomb for Gilead. Come down with a commandment from God. And by the time he got down in the valley, he saw him sinning. He saw their leader Aaron, the great priest, going aside. He saw the ministry making havoc of the people. He saw their minds on gold and silver and a golden calf and an offering and dancing and shouting around it. That was the revival of that day. Same thing in our day. Hasn't changed in our day. It's still the same mode of worship. If you can get a big offering and get the people stirred up, get some music going and get the people stirred up. But God's bringing up a people that's got a spiritual revelation. Hallelujah. He's bringing a people up, Brother Taylor, that's got a spiritual revelation. Cain didn't have that revelation. Cain thought it's time to offer an offering, so I'll go offer it. So he offered the fruit of the ground, being made of the dust. Never had made that translation into the image of the Son of God. Somebody said, wait a minute, preacher. Don't you know that Cain was the Son of God? The Bible didn't call him the Son of God. Is that right? Nor did God number him with the lineage of Adam. It said Adam was the Son of God and a tree produces after its kind. If Adam was the Son of God and Abel was the son of Adam, he was the Son of God. Is that right? But it doesn't place Cain in the lineage. Cain is completely excluded from the lineage when you check it back. Well, was he? Was it under that blood covering? Hallelujah. You can be in the creation today and still not be in the covenant for the next world. God was getting them ready. Ooh, I feel good, don't you? You got a minute to listen? Hallelujah. All right now. You see, God was getting them ready. What was the difference? All right, listen just a minute. Here come Cain. Cain was a human being, just like I'm a human being. Cain belonged to God just like Judas did. Jesus said to Judas, friend, isn't that what he called him? He never made him a spectacle. He never embarrassed him. He said, friend, walk with him, Jim. The Bible said he obtained part of that ministry. But he didn't have that revelation. He didn't have that revelation. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, don't you know that he had it? But he didn't have that revelation. Jesus said, who do the men say that I am? Some said, Brother Pike. Said, but who do you say I am? I say that thou art the Son of God. I don't know you after the flesh. I'm not carnal. You're a Son of God. You follow me? God is hid behind the badger skin of the sons of God. Amen. Now, Cain didn't have that revelation. What was the difference? Here come Cain. Cain offered his sacrifice. He done it just like Abel. But when God looked down, he saw a man made out of the dust. He saw the fruits of the ground that Cain had offered. That it was from his own natural thinking. That's of the earth. That's relative to the earth. That's the gravitational powers to the earth. Now that's where the secret of life and death lays. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad that I heard from heaven. I'm so glad I found the secret to death and the secret to life. God said, Peter, who do you say that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but it is a spiritual revelation. My Father, who is a spirit, hath made you to know. Cain, wouldn't you be accepted if you did well? But sin is at the door. What is sin? Like I said earlier in the service, what is sin? Sin is unbelief. Sin is unbelief, my brother and sister. Sin is unbelief. Don't never look at your brother in a carnal, critical way. You are a Cain when you do that. You are a Judas when you try to figure him out. He's God's creature. God doesn't give you the right to judge another man's servant. To God he stands or falls. Somebody said, Lord, you told me what to do, but what about John? Jesus said, now look here. Hallelujah. He said, you mind your own business. That's my business. Come on, folks. What about old Brother Pike? You mind your own business. God said, that's my business. See? He said, you do what you want to, but what I will, that's between me and him. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? Glory to God. Don't bother Brother Tolerance. That's God's business. He's God's property. Don't mess with him. Don't mess with him. Glory to God. Old David was a great man. David had a heart like God's heart, and he was a great man, but he overstepped his boundaries. Hallelujah, you can overstep your boundaries. He overstepped his boundaries. That Ark of the Covenant started coming into Israel. And it got the shaking and the going on. And David sat down there and said, go down there and take care of that thing and stay to that thing. They run down there and they slapped their hands on him and down they went. Slapped their hands on him, down they went. Hallelujah. That old bald-headed Elijah, wonderful, sweet person, come out of them woods, as sweet as honey, come out of them woods with, yea, thus saith the Lord. And tell them about that old bald-headed creature over there, we better go over there and straighten him out. Hallelujah! That's the way they feel about Bethlehem. We better go straighten him out. They got out there with old, that bald-headed preacher. And they said, now, see here, we got a message for you and we want to indoctrinate you. And it ain't the way you believe it at all because the king sent us to you. Well, Elijah, he didn't preach him a sermon. He didn't have a debate with him. He didn't give him any quotes. He just looked away to heaven. And he said, if I be a man of God, he said, let fire come down from heaven and devour these people that are in my way. And the Bible said fire came down. Devoured them. Old Brother Elijah continued on his way. Hallelujah. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Hallelujah. Follow me. Don't touch my prophets. Hallelujah. What was it? What was God doing? You know what it was? You know what it was? Hallelujah. What was it? You know what it was? They had touched the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, we bear the holy things of God. Isn't that right? Don't touch my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Don't try to steady this thing. It can take care of itself. God don't need no PhDs. God don't need Brother Pike to try to steady his ark. God can take care of it. Hallelujah. The old saying goes, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar got too big for the britches. That's an old country vibe expression. You know, Daddy used to tell me, if I got out of sorts, Daddy said, young fella, you got too big for your britches, but I can take you down a notch or two. And he'd tan my hide, my britches fit better when he got through. I knowed he was Daddy. I knowed I was just running him around the place there. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? His brother Blake said, when he got through with the backside of my lap, I knew better to do what I'd done. Hallelujah. They got a little song out, you know, where the fella said he carved his names on the benches. Raised up as a holiest preacher's boy, said he carved his name on the branches, on the benches. He said, that's the night I learned what the scripture meant when it said you reap what you sow. Said, God, Daddy was good with a hickory stick. You understand what I'm saying? When old Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar and them said, we'll just take the vessels out of the temple. Said, go over there. Said, I'm king. Glory to God, I'm king. You know, I can do whatever I want to. That's right. Like the priest back there one day, the king came over. He came over to the holy place. You know, the president feels like he's a big fella, you know. He came over to the holy place and he started in the holy place. You know, the priest said, wait, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, he said, I'm king. They said, don't do that. Brother, it don't make any difference if you're king. Don't you do that. Moses was Moses. Moses talked to God face to face. But when it come time to go into that precious place called the Holies of Holies, Moses didn't go in there. God said Aaron alone will go in there. God's got a ministry for you. But God expects you to do it. Hallelujah. That old king said, wait a minute, you can't tell me what to do. Boy, I tell you, I can see one whispering to the other. They probably said, I'll tell you one thing. That fella's too big for his britches. He won't never do that no more. So they let him go in there, and when he did, God smote him with leprosy. Amen. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Amen. When that fella come over there to the king, he told the king, he said, look, son, I got leprosy. I'll come over here to the king. You're the big shot of this place. I want you to do something about it. That king knew that he had done overstepped his boundaries. He knew he couldn't do that. But that prophet said, hey, he said, tell him to come on down here. Send him over to little Bethlehem. It'll be all right. Hallelujah! The devil don't like that, does he? He don't like a true living God. He don't like for us to confess that God's in us. Isn't that right? But said, when God gets through with them, they'll fall down before you and say, my God's in this fellow of a truth. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Old Belshazzar, he began to mess around with God's vessels, and after a while, about time he was lit up and he was dancing with his wild women, and everything was going real good, and they was hollering, yay, yay, yay. And about that time, there come a little hand on the wall that said, meeny, meeny, tickle, tickle, you farzin. And the Bible said he come loose of the joints. The Bible said all of his joints come loose. Now, folks, that's getting scared. Did you know that? Glory to God, that's getting scared. When your joints come loose, you're in bad shape. And said his knees knocked together. Amen. His knees knocked together. Amen. And that fellow was so smart that said he didn't need Daniel and said he didn't need the prophets. All of a sudden he said, hey, can anybody tell me something? The wise man said, we don't know what's going on here. Their knees was probably knocking too. Amen. They was knocking too. And the king, he was in a rage, a nervous rage, and he didn't know what to do. And he said, somebody tell me something. Somebody tell me something. You know, he had made a smart remark about his granddad back over there. Old Nebuchadnezzar, after he went through the fire, you know, he began to reverence God. You remember? God brought him up and put him back on the throne. But old Belshazzar, he made a smart remark about him. And he felt like, well, that wasn't necessary. We'll worship the God of the Babylonians. We'll worship the God of the Babylonians. But brother, when he called for the gods of the Babylonians, they couldn't tell him the secret. What was the matter? He didn't have the revelation. Hallelujah. He thought he had the answer, but he didn't have God's revelation. And the old king said, you wise men, you bunch of preachers, you played the hypocrite. That's right. Like in the days of Joseph, he got so upset with me. Over there, he said, he killed a whole bunch of them. Said, all of them's a bunch of hypocrites. Here I got something and they can't interpret and tell me what it is. And we're in a time of crisis. Said, killed a bunch of hypocrites. Amen. But old brother Daniel had compassion. God looked down and God said, wait a minute. Old Daniel said, wait a minute, King. Don't get so nervous. Man, you're a little out of sauce. Hallelujah, simmer down a minute. Let's have a talk about this thing. It was a good thing Daniel did. Daniel knew his head was going to come off too. He was considered one of the wise men. Daniel said, now let's talk this over. Now all the wise men might not have the answer, but you ain't give me a chance yet. Isn't that right? Oh, hallelujah. God looked down from heaven and he saw the prophet and he looked for somebody to bring salvation and he looked through the earth and there was nobody. And God said, I'll do it by myself. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus came down. Jesus came down. He said, I'll do it by myself. And Daniel said, King said, don't be so nervous. Calm down a little bit. He said, look, I don't know what that says. I don't know what that says. Daniel said, it's simple, King. You just got too big for your britches. You forgot I was the boss. Hallelujah! You forgot your granddad set me over the wise men. Amen! Hallelujah! Is that right? Come on now. Come on now. How many believe Jesus is over the wise man? How many believe you're that body members in particular? How many believe the great is the mystery of godliness? How do you believe that you're a steward of those mysteries today? Must be about my Father's business. The earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of them sons of God. My son of God, not a son of a devil, not a son of a serpent, not a son of a beast, but the son of God. And there was the son of God in the days of Moses, living behind the badger skin. There was that same great, powerful Holy Ghost living in the days of Daniel hiding behind the badger skin. The Bible said God veiled himself in darkness, and Paul called this intellectual darkness when God said, turn my people from that serpent mind to the mind of Christ. Get them out of their own reasoning. Is that right? Them that sat in the regions of the darkness, to them great light has sprang up. For in the evening time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. There shall be light. Jesus said this last church is to be the light of the world. Are you the light of the world? Let your light so shine that men might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Walk circumspectly before God and man. Striving always, as Paul said, to keep your conscience void of offense toward God and man, that the faith of Christ might be strong within you. And that they, being unrighteous and evil, may have no evil thing that they can say of you. Come on, folk. I'm going to close in a few minutes. Just give me another minute or two. What was the matter? Old brother Daniel. See, old brother Daniel said, now don't be too hasty. He said, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Why, it sounded like you didn't even think the thing over. See, why is it so hasty? And the king probably said, well, look here, Daniel, I'm a nervous wreck. Man, if you was in the condition I'm in, you'd be hasty too. Amen. That's right. Daniel said, well, won't you give me just a little bit of time? Okay. So old Daniel went off. You know, you're the wise man. You know what I'm saying? Come on! Man, we've been through every book in college. Every one of them! Said it ain't there. What are we going to do? Somebody said, wait till I get my quotes. Come on. But when they got through, it wasn't there. Like I said something to the brother Lamar Couch. He went off to the followers, went off to brother Billy Paul and two of the other outstanding men among brother Branham's following. Ask him a question. They couldn't find it. They called for another. They couldn't find it. They asked another one. He said, I don't know. You understand? You know what it is? Brother, it's not in a quote. It's not in an intellectual letter. It's in the Holy Ghost. In the Spirit of God. You can take that same word that they couldn't find it in the Bible. Take that same quote that they couldn't find it in and get the Holy Ghost to anoint the Word of God, and there shall be. Hallelujah! The Jews, they've got that book of Moses and they went through it from one end to another. Here it is. They go from one end to another. One end to another. And they quote and they quote and they quote. And somebody said it's just an absolute fact that Jesus ain't in there. Them folks is going off on a wild tangent. There ain't no such a thing as a Jesus Messiah in there. Here's a little backwood preacher come up there, don't know nothing about nothing, don't know nothing about the courts. And he comes and sat down in the midst of them. He said, sirs, hear me. Hallelujah. He said, let me preach the Old Testament to you. And the Bible said the veil is over the reading of the Old Testament, over their eyes, even untaken me unto this day. And they don't know Jesus is the Messiah. But said, when Christ comes, the veil shall be taken away. When this revelation of the day star dawns in your heart, the veil melts away. That carnal resistance of darkness melts away into nothing. Hallelujah. It melts away. Then what takes place? I listen just a minute. Just give me a little longer. And what takes place? That little backwood preacher said, glory to God, here he is, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when the Russians went to the moon, they said, well, Jesus ain't up there. One of them believing Americans went up there, said, folks, said, Jesus up there everywhere you look. Now, who was right? Somebody said, oh, Jesus wasn't up there. The Bible said the heavens declare his handiwork. Is that right? He was up there. They just didn't see him. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. Somebody takes that Bible and they begin to read in the book of Adam, and they say, glory to God, there's Jesus. Hallelujah. And they get over there to the book of Abraham and say, glory to God, there he is again. How do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, where do you ever see Jesus? The second man, Adam. Somebody said, where did you ever see him in Abraham? The seed of the woman. Come on. Hallelujah. On and on and on, there was Jesus. You follow me? It's a revelation. You've got to have a revelation from God. It's not by power and might, but by the Spirit. So then Cain didn't have the revelation. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have the revelation. And there was Cain. What was the trouble? He didn't have the revelation. What happened to him? He was not under the second covenant. See the sign that you're born under. Look now. Everybody's born under a sign. How do you know that? Talk to science about it. You're born under a certain sign. God shall set the heavens for signs and for seasons. That's how the wise men knew that Jesus was born. They saw a sign in the heavens. You've got a sign in the heavens. That's how Jeannie Dixon and all these others predict these great things. See, they study those signs until they become like wise men. The wise men studied the stars. They knew the signs. The only difference in our wise men of the day, they study the stars to see how much they can learn so they can get another Cadillac and a lot of prestige and the president to admire them and get a bank account. Amen! That's the way witches does gifts. A witch will have a real genuine gift and pervert the thing like Balaam did for money. Come on. But it's real genuine. You understand what I'm saying? The anointing comes on all. The bride and the wheat. Good and the bad. I'll pour out my spirit upon all. Is that right? Saul wasn't no prophet. His heart had murder in it, but when he got to Ramoth Gilead, the anointing come on, he began to prophesy. The church today is filled with a bunch of reflectors. They're not filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in a few people in the church, and the rest of them are wandering stars, just reflectors, just mirrors. And they're reflecting the light of the others. And they get to church and they're sanctimonious. They get to talking about God and hearing the gospel, and they're sanctimonious. They do like Esau. They seek repentance with bitter tears and never find it. Because it's not given through repentance. The gifts of God don't come to repentance. God doesn't give his gifts to repentance. But he gives them by foreknowledge. And we acknowledge them through repentance. You understand? Men before of old ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Denying the only Lord God that brought him. Is that right? That's the day we're living in. See, Cain didn't have a revelation. He couldn't understand that the thing was by predestination. He couldn't understand it was by the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, he didn't understand that you couldn't fast to it. And like the Jews, they tried to fast till he got to it. They tried to sacrifice till he got to it. God was looking for obedience and left them there. Having the word of God not mixed with faith, it didn't do anything. It was just a veiled book. But Jesus rent the veil. He turned to the Gentiles and said, folks, now here she is out of the veil. Said, if you think that's beautiful in the veil, he said, you just look at this church I brought out of the veil. It's the light of the world. Said, you just look at them. He said, one of them will outshine the noonday sun. And said, there wasn't none greater than John. And said, he didn't even be compared to one of the least ones. And that's the member of the body of Jesus. Is that right? John the prophet said, but when you talk about the body of Jesus Christ, even the least one is greater than John was. Is that right? John lived perfect, but that wasn't enough. It took the righteousness of God in Christ. The revelation. So then Cain didn't understand. See, he didn't understand. Now, let's just get right down to it before I close now. Cain didn't understand. Why didn't he understand? What was the reason? What was going on? What had taken place? You follow me? What was it? There was a reason. God gave Adam a covenant. That covenant was a water covenant. Come on now. God gave him a covenant. Adam, eat of the fruit of the ground. Adam, enjoy the fruit of the trees. You know, anything that's a covenant with you. The herbs can be for you for meat. The fruits can be for you for meat. All of these things, I give you a covenant. What is the covenant? To sustain life, Adam. This is to sustain life. I give you a covenant. This can sustain life, Adam. Is that right? But when Eve went over there, God said, now you see that tree? He said, don't you mess with that tree. But here goes Eve, you know. God said, don't touch my anointed, do my prophets no harm, keep your hands off of what I'm doing. Old brother David, God prepared his heart to dance and shout before the Ark of the Covenant. And that little old woman of Saul, come on now, that one that's born after the flesh, that daughter of Saul, she said, yeah, you sure showed out, didn't you? God put her away. Wouldn't have nothing else to do with her. Is that right? Cut her off from the dancing. Cut her off from the good things of God. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then what was it? See, she went over there and she started tampering with that tree. She started messing around with that tree. And the first news you know, I watch. The first news you know, say, yeah, I was down there at Bethlehem and I felt pretty good while I was there and I got to believing that was God. But, you know, when I get out of that and get away from that atmosphere, I know better than that. Tell me one thing, Saul, where did you get it from? The witch of Endor. That's where you got it from, the witch of Endor. See, when you got out of the atmosphere of them prophesying, you didn't feel like prophesying no more. Is that right? Is that right? Hallelujah. So then Eve began to tamper with the tree of knowledge. After a while, she partook of it. What was it? It was the broken covenant of Moses. The tree of knowledge had brought death. It broke it. They turned to their own carnal reason. Somebody said, where's Moses at? We don't know where he's at. Somebody build us a church. Make us a denomination. Let's do something. Is that right? Let's do something. And so then they started to do something. But brother, when they'd done their thing, as the world said, God didn't want it. That wasn't what God wanted. That wasn't God's interest. They said, but Lord, look at this golden calf. Look what we've done. A big, beautiful building, everything. We got everything. But God said, where is the revelation that Moses was supposed to bring to you? I want you to know about me. I'm life. The building's fine. I thank God for it. The grounds is fine. I thank God for it. All that we got's fine. I thank God for it. I give you the trees. I give you the rivers. I give you the lakes. I give you the streams. But when you reject my word, to go to the bigger limits of the world. Because you've rejected my word, I've rejected you. Is that right? Eve, you broke the word of God. The covenant was broke. See, now there it is right there. Now, you see what I'm talking about? It's broke. that covenant is no good anymore. It won't sustain life anymore. God separated. That covenant is broken. And then what happened? Man began to die. His lifeline began to get shorter and shorter. 700-800 years he lived. Then it began to get shorter. What was it? That old serpent of death, that God couldn't stand, that vile, wretched nature kept separating them from God more and more. And the farther they got from God, the shorter the lifespan came. So then, leaning, reasoning, why? Because death, my brother, death is in the earth. There is no life in the earth. Life is in the spirit. Life is in the sunshine, not the earth. The earth will produce as long as the sun shines upon it. But when you take the sunshine away, the earth dies. That was a good covenant. Life was there. The Shekinah glory was over. They could live. You follow me? But then there came a time that wouldn't do anymore. The Spirit of God withdrawed more and more. Cain coming offered his sacrifice, but that covenant was broken. It was gone. Sin was at the door. Why didn't God receive Cain? Come on now. He was the son of the mother. He was the son of the mother, not the son of the father, but the son of the mother. Cain was the son of the one that broke the covenant. Adam didn't break the covenant. The Bible said the man's not in the transgression, but the woman. And he was the son of the woman. See, you understand what I'm saying? It isn't the body of Jesus Christ that's broke the covenant. It isn't the sons of God that broke the covenant. It's the church world that's done it. It's her sons that's Cain's. It's her sons that's filled with the devil. It's her churchianity. See, he was the son of that woman. And that covenant that God had made had been broken. And death was over that woman, and travail and sorrow was over that woman. But death wasn't over the man. Death wasn't over the man. How could death be over the man? Because death couldn't be over the man. Because the man was Christ Jesus, the Son of God. The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. How can a Son of God die? Come on now. See? It was the son of the woman that caused the trouble. What is the son of the woman? He said, in the morning I will hate your image. I will despise your image. What is the son of the woman? It's that beast image. It's when that man that's on the inside of you, that inner man that Paul spoke of, that you're carrying within the wound of your heart, when that thing builds itself up and matures in the image of intellectual reasoning, education, programs, businessmen, great things of the world. I know that God's got some people among the businessmen. Daniel was head over the people back there in Babylon. It was wise men. The Hebrew children had positions. God's got some out there now. But see, God wasn't looking for prestige. God wasn't looking for money. God wasn't looking for popularity. How can you have the praise of God when you seek honor one of another? You understand what I'm saying? Now, so then, the son of the woman, the covenant was broken. So when he came, there was no lifeline. There was no connection. John speaks of him and said, why did Cain slay Abel? Was he not of that wicked one? Wherefore slew he his brother? Because his brother's deeds were good and his was evil. You start to do something in little Bethlehem. You start to do something in another place. You start to do something in another town. And watch and see if the devil don't start mocking you. Who do you think you are? What are you going to do with your 2 cents? Is that right? David said, I want to do something for God. You? You do something for God? David said, well, I know I might not be as tall and handsome as y'all are. Come on now. Amen. My chariot, I might not own one. You understand? But look, fellas, I'm the son of Jesse too. Glory to God, I might be the runt in the family as far as you're concerned, but I'm the son of Jesse too. Come on, folks. Praise God, you might have your Cadillac, but I got my sling. Amen. I have a lot of fun with it. Glory to God, your Cadillac can't stop the bear like my sling can. Come on. You can't use that chariot on that giant on the hillside like I can the sling. Is that right? You follow me? The revelation. No, Saul said, David said, get in this army. He said, I ain't proved it. I don't know whether to do the job or not. I'd prove this. The Bible said, hold fast to it. You follow me? A son of God. Adam was a son of God. Not the son of the woman, but the son of God. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. So then the revelation. The difference is the revelation of Christ. I look at it just for a few more minutes now. Adam was not in the transgression. The woman was in the transgression. The covenant had been broken. The beast was the father of Cain. Is that right? And so then he was wicked. When he came to offer his offering, he did not have atonement. Why? Because there is no spilling of the blood. There is no atonement. There is no atonement for willful sin. He had premeditated murder in his heart. Killing Abel wasn't what cut him off. Is that right? That wasn't what cut him off. If murder would have been the thing that would have cut him off, then why didn't God cut Moses off for killing a man, hiding him in the sand? Why didn't God cut David off when he run through a troop and leaped over a wall? That wasn't what done it. What did it? There was something else that did it. That was a premeditated murder out of jealousy. The Bible said, I've never sent you a wise man or anybody else what you didn't kill him. Some of you people come to little Bethlehem and your tongues are so long, tied in the middle as somebody said, and loose at both ends like an old serpent going that way all the time, you know, making a crooked trail everywhere you go. The child's known by doing. You get out there and you start with your wife and you start with your husband, you start with your children, you start with your friends and you start with your neighbors. And you start stoning the people of little Bethlehem to death. You murderer. You Cain, you liar. You're your father, the devil, the wicked one. Said, and they lay in wait and whet their tongues like arrows to shoot up the upright in heart. Come on, folks. I feel good. Glory to God, I feel good. Amen. I'm ready to stop, but I believe you want to say, me say a little more. Hallelujah. I'm willing to stop, you know. Not ready. All right, now. So then it was a broken covenant. There had to be another covenant. Paul said if in that first covenant there had been found place for repentance, if it had been sufficient, then there had been no place found for the second. But inasmuch as the blood of goats couldn't take away sin, then there was sought a new covenant. What was that new covenant? Hallelujah. It wasn't established with the woman. That first one was established with the woman. Why do you say that? Because Adam represented the weakness of the flesh. And Paul said through the weakness of the flesh, the law couldn't perform though it was holy. Wasn't nothing wrong with the covenant. It was wrong with those that couldn't perform it. But then there came the second covenant. That covenant God did not mean for Moses to use. Them elders died in the wilderness because they broke that first covenant. That denominational group of people will be swallowed up as this physical earth in its lust opens up and swallows their soul. But that second covenant was for Joshua. Oh, brother Joshua. Hallelujah. When the others were swallowed up, Joshua looked back. God said, Moses, take your spirit and put it upon Joshua. Hallelujah. Joshua, you do everything I commanded Moses to do. What did you command Moses to do? My word. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Is that right? You'll do everything that I told him to do. And Joshua took them and they didn't break that second covenant. Joshua took them victorious over Jordan into Canaan land. That covenant was so powerful that the sun stood still and the moon stood still. I've explained in Revelation what that means. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? See, the first covenant was broken. God couldn't make the second covenant until the days of Noah. And then when death it took its toll, the days of Noah, that was the first crossing. That was the first great deluge. But after that deluge, there had to be another covenant. When they come out of Egypt, after 430 years, that covenant was gone. When they come over the great deluge of the Red Sea, God took that lamb that he prepared just before the crossing and said, I make with you Noah a covenant of blood. You eat all the meat you want to eat. Ooh, that makes me feel good. Glory to God. I'm a meat eater anyway. I got meat to eat, Jesus said, that you don't know about. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Don't you see what I'm saying? The milk is for the babe, but the meat is for the strong. They who have by reason exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. The Church of God's all right. The UP's all right. The Baptist's all right. The Methodist's all right. Whatever the Word of God they've got, that's all right. But brother, that day of just living on water, that's over. Paul said water's good, but said drink no longer water. Take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Said all your labor's for your belly, but the wine will get rid of that problem. Why? Because it don't work on the belly, it makes the heart merry. Come on, folks. Jesus said, I'll drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. I feel good. I better close this up. That'll encourage me, and I'll let you know I'm going to stop somewhere. Now, I am fixing to close. Seriously, I could go on and on, but I'm fixing to close. Now listen, see, what was the covenant? It was broke. It wouldn't work. That covenant wouldn't work with Cain. It wouldn't work anymore, folks. It won't work anymore. See, that church world is gone. That was good while we was out there. That was good. The waters of life are good. That's good. See, the great deluge of water's coming down on everybody, the just and the unjust. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? But now listen, here was a covenant of meat. Come on now. That covenant wasn't made with everybody. Is that right? I put that under the rainbow. Is that right? I put that under the rainbow. We went into the rainbow. You know what it means. But see, this is a different covenant. It was a different covenant. See, everybody didn't have this covenant. You say, but Brother Pike, anybody could eat meat, but there wasn't nobody to eat it. Come on now. See, everybody couldn't eat it because there wasn't nobody to eat it. God had killed everybody, destroyed everybody, with nobody left but Noah and his family. Don't you see Jesus and his family? Nobody could partake of that. See, that church world has gone out. Can I say this right quick? It'll take a few minutes, but it might help you to understand what I'm saying. Just give me a minute or two. I was just going to close right there. But just give me a minute or two, and I'll say this to you. When we went to Baton Rouge, something was taking place. And you follow me just for a few minutes of a present-day revelation and some new to the old now. When we went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, God working in us to his good pleasure. Steps of righteous men's ordered by the Lord. Preparation of man's heart from God, good and evil has win both. Holds the king's heart in his hand. There's it. Where's it? Like the rivers of water. Is that right? All right, now, we went to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That indicated a change. Jimmy Swaggart, Jimmy Davis. You follow me? Went to Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. Jimmy Davis had been formerly Louisiana governor. You follow me? I went in Jimmy Kirk's car. Is that right? And the Jimmy that we just got for president. You see it? You ever heard that saying, Jimmy, take all you give me? I'm glad our Jimmy ain't like that. Right now, there was something that was taking place when I went down there. I drove down there, the snow, the bitter ice, all of this. I'm not being comical. Foolishness thoughts, even foolish thoughts of sin. I'm just having a little humor with you, as Paul said. Jesus said, go tell that fox. Now listen. Now, going down there, I know my wife looked at me as if to say, well, of course she knew me, you know. But as if to say, what a foolish man he is. Why don't he turn around? Don't he know that he's jeopardizing my life and the children's lives and all the rest? And I expect Brother Frank Beretta and Dale and all of them felt the same way. But I kept going and kept going and kept going. The trucks was off. The cars was off. Some turned over, some here, some there. I kept going. Why? Because it was for a reason. when we got down there, then I drove. I flew back. I didn't drive back. That was still strange. But I knew the ice would be off the roads. And I flew back. That was for a reason. What was the reason? It had to do with the changing of the old over to the new. I can't go into the detailed matter of it. Some of you wouldn't understand if I did. Some of you would. But I'm going to say enough of you have a continuity where if you will let the Lord, He'll lead you into it. Guide you into all the truths and righteousness of God. Now, I come back from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I flew back in here. Something was taking place. That something that was taking place has to do with Brother Oral Roberts and what has just happened. The death of his daughter, the wreck he had, the change. Brother Roberts has been at the head of this thing. And see, it was to go out a little at a time and a little at a time. See, Brother Roberts is compromised continually. How do you know that? I made the statement 15 or 20 years ago. I saw the vision. I saw what the Lord has shown me about it, a revelation. I said, Brother Roberts fell away from God in his old age. He started compromising with basketball. Is that right? First news you know, it was basketball. No doubt he'd go to the football games too. The next thing, it was running shorts, you know, in shorts and tights at ORU. You know, bathing suits. You follow me? The next thing he compromised with here, he's in show business. You follow me? Show business, hooting any shows or whatever they call them. Spending God's money for it. See, the light going out a little at a time. Old Roberts indicated the woman going to the wilderness, the light, through the tribulation. The other day I was watching, I said, it's winter, be a tribulation period. I said, Old Roberts and Billy Graham linking up together, and they will, and they did. Like the two big wings of the eagle will carry that woman into the wilderness. What is that? Into the intellectual reasoning. Carry the church world, and so they did. How do you know that? They pulled the Baptists and the Methodists and even hit the UPC so strong, the Jesus Name churches, that some of the people come out of the UPC and turned Trinity and followed Old Roberts. That's right. You follow me? Lead them into the wilderness, into the carnal mind. God did that to protect them from Antichrist. There's a place where she'll hide during that time, and that thing is she'll look so much like the world nobody won't know her during that time. Like David, when David went over there in that land and he feigned himself to be foolish and to be mad and be crazy. The king wouldn't mess with him. Because God, the man lost his mind. That preserved him. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? The church seems to be all out of sorts. It's just something that they're faking. God allows that. All right, now, let's go on this a little further. So then, old Roberts, the things happening indicates the head of it going down and the change coming over. Where do you get that? Because old Roberts made the statement just recently that Jimmy Carter, which represented the ministry that's coming up of the man-child, went over to old Roberts. Jimmy Carter went to old Roberts. Old said he come to me for prayer and asked for prayer. Said, I'm going to be the President of the United States. See the change over? From the west over to the east. Are you following me? You follow me? Like Ron gave me them sheep, them lamb skins. If you don't pressure me, just give me a minute or two. Now I'll explain to you. I'll get it all jumbled up if you pressure me trying to close and let you go. Now, Brother Ron, you remember when he flew out to California? He came back and he brought some things. I spoke of it in Revelation. Some of you remember that? You remember it? All right, he brought that lamb skin from out there. What was it? It was a resurrection. What resurrection? The resurrection of Brother William Branham. See, the full gospel businessmen, that's out there. Isn't that right? It's out there in California. It's the only thing Brother Branham ever joined, a type of his death. Coming down from Calvary after they crucified him, buried in that full gospel businessman's tomb, because that's what it is, a tomb. I preached a sermon out in Anaheim, California, to him, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Don't bring forth good fruit, God will cut it down. Is that right? Are you following me, sure enough? Are you listening to me? All right, now. So then, there is the full gospel businessman. Old Roberts is the man that headed that thing up. He made a statement here months and months and many months ago, a number of years ago. He said, I want to join the Methodist Church so they can add more charisma to it. So your charismatic move come up, which is the full gospel businessman, and all this other thing like the different things that you see around. The charismatic thing that is to go into the Catholic Church where they always speak in tongues, they become Pentecostal, be a Catholic move. I made that statement years ago. It's on tape. I would be religious and go out with a big musical thing, and everybody would carry musical. These big all-night saints. See, the thing is closely knit with music. The Ark of the Covenant and the musicians always went along together. You sing and create the atmosphere for the Word. You follow me? The Word's the Ark. Then it gets over Jordan, which is the carnal mind. By the anointing, because the waters part. The anointing breaks the yoke, severs the waters. What is the waters? It's the good people and the bad. You know, putting a divider in the beginning there, a firmament between the upper waters and the lower waters, the good waters and the bad waters, the bloodline, Calvary. Doing away with the darkness, letting there be light. You follow me in what I'm saying? All right, then, that had to do with Ron bringing that book back. Ron's familiar with this. Ron won't mind me saying this, I'm sure. Ron's name used to be McCain. He changed his name from McCain because he got convicted over it, changed it to Ron Clyde. In paying for that, he went through a sheepskin process. Is that right? Through a sheepskin process. You follow me? See, if you're born with that old Cain nature, then you got to kill it out. Once you kill it out, you got to make the crossing over from that over into the other. How do you do it? By the blood of the lamb, going by the way of the sheepskin. God put skins on them. What kind of skins? Sheepskins. So then when Ron came back, he brought those sheepskins. Brother Branham's death, the resurrection coming back up at this time, the death of old Roberts, that's the head of that thing being killed, like John's head being cut off for a replacement of Jesus'. Jesus' head coming in, the law gone, Jesus coming in, the revelation. See, the crossing, the tribulation, Calvary, the crossing of the Red Sea and the wilderness, all of that is one in the types and the shadows. So then Brother Branham coming back up said, I'll ride that trail again. So then when the sheepskins come, what happened? They come over here. When they come over here, immediately Old Robert starts going into the wrath of God. Things start happening. Just like that. You understand what I'm saying? Because I said that God will work with those leaders till he gets the people's eyes off of them and get them on something else. Let them drift, drift, drift. And then when he does, he'll just cut them off and go into something else. Is that right? That's no accusation against anybody. I could explain it, but we don't have time to do that. But anyway, now look at it for just a few minutes. Brother Wilson coming here, he had to do with the resurrection of Brother Branham. He is on the woman side of it, the bride side of it. While you here have to do with the male side of it, the sons marrying the church. He went down yonder at Douglas. What does Douglas have to do with it? It's way cross. The way of the cross leads home. Reuben, over there at one place, had run into the woman situation. The firstborn. Jesus made sin when Christ is in his heart. The Reuben failed, but the Christ didn't. God said, Peter, I prayed for you. When your strength fails, I prayed for you. You understand? Say, I'm strong in the power of my mind. All right, now, then you convert it. When you convert it, strengthen the brethren. Now, there's a fish fry that is playing where Reuben is supposed to come over to the fish fry down in Douglas, there with Brother Wilson, the body and the spirit coming together, the man and the woman. You follow me? At the same time, our little group called the Heavenly Echoes is invited down there. Little David Paul, typical of the man child, which goes back to Brother Branham, being dead at Calvary, Jesus went out, Brother Branham. Then in the coming back, after tribulation, comes back Brother Branham, Jesus on the white horse. Is that right? That's the white tent down yonder. How do you understand what I'm saying? The Heavenly Echoes, what is that? Echoes from heaven, the words of life, the message. Is that right? Why? Because they are my seed. Those children are mine and Betty's. You follow me? All right, now, why did David Paul make up a little brochure with no coaching, no nothing, and put a cloud just exactly like the cloud that had Brother Branham, or they seen in Arizona, they had in the paper there? How do you understand what I'm saying? Why do you make a cloud just exactly like that at this time and put the heavenly echoes right in it? And I kid, a lot of times I kid Brother or my Cindy about her husband's name being Malloy, you know. And right under the cloud, as if to come back, it says Malloy. You understand? Going down there, the little foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise now. Going down there, God hiding himself in simplicity. Going down there, Reuben the firstborn having been dead at the cross. You know, Jesus didn't, he didn't come beyond the cross. That was the end for Jesus. God gave his son. The Christ came up. Now then God picks up the Jesus after tribulation, which is the Jews, because that's the body that was rejected. The head cut off, John's head cut off, that was Jesus. And then the Christ head coming into the Gentile, the spiritual Jews, is that right? How many understand what I'm saying? The law. The restoration of the law coming back in then for the millennium, the redemption of the body. So then going down there to that, this cloud coming up, the heavenly echoes, returning as we use the little thought to rapture the happy Smith family. The family that's going to be raptured, be happy. How many know that? The heavenly echoes coming to pick them up. Oh, they just about quit off down there. They need a resurrection. And the woman is the woman preacher. And at this point, the woman preacher starts yielding herself up, watch and see, to the man. Because The bride knows the bridegroom's voice. She ain't going to yield up until the bridegroom comes. Is that right? You can holler, woman ain't called to preach all you want to, but a woman in this American world is supposed to compass a man. A divine conception without the aid of a man. Is that right? To bring forth a man-child. It's a woman nation. Is that right? How do you understand what I'm saying? Keep your mind out of the gutters now. Let's talk about Jesus. This ain't foreign to you. All right, now, how do you understand what I'm saying? So then going down to Douglas, when you get down to Douglas, what happens? See, the woman hears the voice of the bridegroom. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. She said, that's him. I'm no longer a preacher. That's my husband. He's the head. You follow me? He's the head. She starts yielding up. America says the Jews coming back in power. We're not the head. They're the head. God said they're the apple of the eye. The only reason America has the preeminence right now is because she's carrying the child. Is that right? That's the Christ, the spiritual child. But when he's called out of the wound, he goes back over there to sit on the throne, riding over the tribulation period, sitting down on the throne, the rapture. Caught up on this side of the tribulation, riding over to sit down on the throne of David over there. When that happens, America's no more than a woman then. Her government is now over. 200 years of government, she's finished. Jimmy Carter coming in, the man-child caught up to the throne. You remember how I taught there? Caught up to the throne, which indicates that Oral Roberts is going out. That's the woman. When Oral Roberts met Brother Branham, shook hands with him, the power of God went from Brother Branham into Oral Roberts. Trinity Veil, the woman. Is that right? It started Trinity to move, and the glory of God, like a precipitation, came through that veil. And the voice of healing branched out, went all over the world, and called the great revival. The light not too bright, because it indicated the early rain. It was through a Trinity veil. But now that the veil is rent, like the message we preached on the rending of the veil, the veil is rent. And then with that comes the Jesus named child. And the woman, the Trinity veil, fades away into the background. She's not important. She's not highlighted anymore. The Jesus named child begins to be highlighted. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Show it to me. Look at types and shadows. Every president that's ever come up, they've never talked about the religion like Jimmy Carter. I said it would be a religious government. Didn't I say that? See, they've not talked about religion. Why? It wasn't the child. If they'd have done it, they'd have put them out of office. They couldn't do it. They had to talk about the woman, which was the world. But now the religious side's coming, which is the male, the man. All right, now, there's a lot I'd like to add to this, but I ain't going to have time. But anyway, Oral Roberts, being in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when Oral goes out, that's the head of that great move. That's the end of it, right there. That's the death, the woman. You follow me? Went into the movies, that was the end of it. All right, now, the man that's near Tulsa, Oklahoma, what is his name? Prince. Who knows what I'm saying? If the woman's in travail, how many know that's travail when your daughter dies like that? When the woman's in travail, right here at the tribulation time, what is it? It's to bring forth Brother Prince out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. What is he going to do? Bring them stones over Jordan. Come over here and lay them stones. The western end of it over, moving back to the east. How do you understand what I'm saying? Foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. The death of that ministry over there, because when them things start happening to Oral Roberts, people will lay him down just like a hot coal. That's right, they will. They say, oh, something's wrong. All right, so then it come over. Going down yonder to Douglas indicates a resurrection is coming up. I said it had to do with a guitar. That don't sound right, does it? But it does. And Brother Taylor told me about a little plan they had and said the strange part about this is this plan has to do with Douglas. Not that Douglas, but another Douglas. That proved what I said about that Douglas. I won't go into it. You wouldn't understand anyway. But anyway, it has to do with a resurrection. So then going down there, we'll probably take the films, probably film it. Going down there indicates the resurrection, indicates the breaking forth or the beginning of the last and greatest move that will ever strike the earth, that will take the church on home. This spring was to do it. This spring was to bring it about. And even Brother William Branham, the prophet, had pointed to it. Said 77 will be the last go-round, as far as I can tell. If this is the last message coming in, the last thing, it's the last go-round. Because that is the end of the United States. That it is the end of the people. That's the end of their government. It's a religious government coming in, an Antichrist government in the Antitype through Carter coming in, and the reality of God coming in through little Bethlehem. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because there's hundreds of tapes up here where we spot a little of it concerning Monroe, the position, the governors, and all these other many things. Now, there is a lot of things that I'd like to say to you. When I say that, that's from my heart. There are so many multiplied things that I'd love to just stand here and point out step by step to you, tying it in with Douglas and with Brother Roberts, Brother Branham, and the many other things. But if I do, it'll keep you here all day. So then, I'm just going to say what I've said and stop at this point. I just want to drop it enough of the present day happening to where you that are the elect, you that have the mind of God, can keep going on and following the star. They saw the star and they followed it to where the wise men saw a star in the east, and they followed it right on to where the babe was. And they found him in Bethlehem, the house of bread. So then, there is a Bethlehem in the earth. There is a Bethlehem in the earth. Brother Branham preached the message, Why Little Bethlehem? All right, I want you to stand with me now. I felt like saying those last few closing remarks here. The little harvest herald that has to do with this is just coming out. And you know, Brother Roberts' daughter, the one that was killed, crashed in a wheat field, according to what I understand. You know the thing that took the plane down, what I understand now. The cause of it, said to run into a rainstorm. I don't mean this wrong, because that's horrible. Broken hearts, and I'm so sorry. They have my sympathy. I'm so sorry. It could happen to you or me anytime. But God has His way. He's fed Brother Roberts out of a silver spoon. Now, the time for Christ to show in His life is at hand. To take Him out of the dungeon. He's died, been buried. God's got to pick Him up. Samson coming out of the dungeon. Are you listening to me? The thing that's going to cause the plane to go down is that latter rainstorm. When God starts pouring it out, that Trinitarian move is going to go down, because it's going to be harvest time. It went down in the wheat field. The thing that blinded them over there in the days of Gideon was when they broke the clay pitcher. That was Calvary, the rending of the veil. The light of the world began to shine. They were creatures of darkness. They had a doctrine, but it was an intellectual doctrine. They'd gone out of college, and it didn't have any light to it. It just had a light over it, which was the Shekinah. The woman don't have life in her. The man has life in him. She is overshadowed with the grace and love of the man because she carries the child. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you men don't get any foolish ideas about your wife that she's some kind of a robot. I tell you what, I despise that little thing they got going among Brother Branham's followers about a woman being a garbage can. I tell you, any woman in her right mind wouldn't follow that movement. There's something wrong with the women when they start following that movement to begin with. Somebody said, you mean there's something wrong with the women that follow William Branham? You devil, you twist up what I said. I said, following that movement, where they teach any such thing as that. Brother Branham never taught that. Brother Branham said, a whorish woman. As far as I'm concerned, a whorish woman ain't good as a garbage can. Has better purposes for a garbage can. But a woman is a wonderful thing. The man that gets a wife gets a good thing. That's a good woman. Fine. She's upright. She's virtuous. She's a crown to her husband's head. If she's not, she's rottenness in his bones. Men love to put them down, put their foot on them so they can feel big. But folks, let me tell you, don't you forget, you're the woman. Jesus is the male. That woman's just a type of what you are, the flesh. You love the Lord, but that woman preacher, she's going to yield up. She's going to hear the voice. She's going to say, that's him. That's him. And she does. It's going to yield up. Oh, hallelujah. I like that song Brother Taylor sings. The golden grain ready to yield, we are marching to Zion. Hallelujah. Praise God. You love the Lord? Just lift your hands up with me. I'm not going to tarry to pray for the sick or anything this morning. I want to pray for you as a whole. And tonight, you come back tonight, the Lord moves, or if you want prayer, I'll be glad to pray for you. I pray for you all the time anyway. But I just want to worship the Lord for just a minute or two. And I want to pray for you. Just lift your hands up. Father of heaven, I thank you for your wonderful Son, Jesus. And oh God, I love you. I love your people. And I'm thankful, Lord, though I am less than any of them, yet I'm thankful for your heavenly presence. I ask you to be with us, Jesus. Bless these precious people. And dear God, let them ever have the keen interest in Christ as they have this morning. God, forgive me for my wrongs. And help me to do the right thing, for who can speak to thee, so great a people, the body of the living God, kings and great prince in the earth. Gods you call them, Father. And so they are. But oh God, though I know that a member of your body could be nothing less than a God because you are God. And I know that's a measure of God, a member of that great God, Lord. But God, unite us. Bone to bone. Hallelujah. The unity of the faith, till we all come into the unity of the Spirit, the fullness of your stature, in a collective membership of the fullness of your stature. Oh Lord, to see, to believe, to understand as you do. I feel you, your presence. Oh God, I feel your presence. I love you, Jesus. From my heart, I love you, Jesus. And dear God, heal these people. Father, you said whoever we bless would be blessed, and whoever we curse would be cursed, and whatever we bind on earth would be bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth would be loose in heaven. And I bless these people, Father. I bind their sins, cast them into the outer darkness by your word and faith. And Lord, you said whosoever sins we remit would be remitted, whosoever sins we retain would be retained. I remit their sins in the name of Jesus according to faith of that God that speaks through me, Father. For he said it not be me, but the Word speaking. And faith in the Word would save. Healing was translated from death by faith in the Word. Father, I wish we had time to explain what we were trying to say. But oh God, in Jesus' name, according to your precious will, heal them. Now, if there's one sick that's among us, Lord, you said the prayer of faith, Lord, would save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it would be forgiven them. Lord, I pray for the sick this morning. I pray, Jesus, in your name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. I pray for the sick. I ask forgiveness if they've committed any sins. And I ask healing, oh Lord, upon them. And I feel you healing them right now. I feel you doing it. According to their faith, you said it could be. And Lord, I'm standing in the gap for them. I'm making up the hedge for them this morning. I believe